trusted information for the Twin Cities and the Upper Midwest. Today's 830 WCCO.
WCCO Radio News. Good morning. I'm Telly Mamayak at 830, 70 and partly cloudy in the Twin Cities. And we're continuing our coverage of the bridge collapse in downtown Minneapolis. Authorities have revised the death toll to 4. That's based on the sets of remains at the coroner's office, but that number is expected to change throughout the day. We also have revised numbers of injured. Doctors at Hennepin County Medical Center held a briefing this morning, and they said 79 people were hurt. 55 of them were transported to area hospitals, and the others made it to hospitals on their own. 24 went to HCMC, where 16 remain this morning. 6 of them have life-threatening injuries. At another news conference, Minneapolis Police Chief Tim Dolan said 20 to 30 people are missing and that the search effort will resume. However, authorities want to make sure that it's safe for divers to go back into the water, so structural engineers are examining the wreckage there to make sure that a diving operation can be safe. And the Minneapolis Star Tribune is reporting the bridge that collapsed was rated structurally deficient and possibly in need of replacement 2 years ago. A spokeswoman for MnDOT says the department is familiar with that assessment, but the governor says inspections last year and the previous year showed only some minor things needed attention.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Frank Setapani. Local officials say 4 bodies have been recovered from the site of last night's Mississippi River Bridge collapse in the Twin Cities. That's down from an estimated death toll of 7 to 9. But Police Chief Tim Dolan says it is likely to go up.
We know that there are numerous other vehicles that are in the water.
Sheriff Richard Stenick says divers will be back in the water when they're satisfied it's safe to resume the search.
We use a side scan sonar via GPS so we can go down, we can take a look, we can mark where vehicles are, objects in the water.
Witnesses who watched the bridge go down couldn't believe what they were seeing.
It's something I never want to experience or see again in my life.
One little boy on a school bus saw the collapse up close. That bus crossed over just seconds before the cave-in.
We were just playing around, playing games, and all of a sudden I just saw the bridge collapsing and 5 cars falling in the river.
Officials are ruling out sabotage and terrorism as possible causes of the collapse. CBS News Special Report, I'm Frank Setapani.
And WCCO's Eric Escala joins us live from the entrance to the Stone Arch Bridge, where authorities held a news conference about an hour ago, and he joins us live with the very latest.
Yeah, a little more from Hennepin County Sheriff Rich Stanek, who says it's now a recovery operation, not a rescue mission, and Stanek says it will be proceed at a slow and deliberate pace.
Folks were out early this morning at sunrise taking a look at the structure itself, the bridge that's still standing, parts of it, debris in the water, making sure that the scene is safe and secure for emergency workers to be able to work around it and get on with the job that they have to do this morning.
And Chief Dolan telling us that the perimeter and that has been set up around the bridge and local streets and so forth likely will be up for 3, 4, even 5 days. Telly?
All right. Thank you, Eric Escala. Now, U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters will be flying to the Twin Cities today with Minnesota Senators Norm Coleman and Amy Klobuchar, who talked with WCCO Radio this morning before catching that flight.
We do not know the exact causes here, so I think it's too early to tell. Clearly, I have always believed we need to ramp up our transportation funding, and that's what that'll be a piece of this. But right now, the immediate focus has to be on the efforts of recovery, rescue, and then getting the funding to start the investigation and the repair. That's why we are coming in.
Now, a project to repair the bridge's surface was underway at the time of the collapse. 2 lanes were closed in each direction. 18 workers from Progressive Contractors of St. Michael were on the site doing concrete, lighting, guardrail, and joint repair work. All but one had been accounted for as of 9 o'clock last night. And those workers that did survive had quite a tale to tell. They said that they basically rode the bridge as it went down. At least one MnDOT official was at the scene inspecting the crew's work when that bridge collapsed. Now, we're expecting another update from officials at about 9:15 this morning after they tour the site, and we plan to bring that to you live here on 830 WCCO. For now, news time is 8:34.
Thank you, Telly Mamayak, Tim Russell, Dan Terhar, Jack Rice sitting in this morning as we continue with our coverage here on 830 WCCO. 8:34, the time, 70 degrees with sunshine here as we head for 85. So, gentlemen, still waiting to put the boats in and see, but I have seen estimates, and we heard from Chief Dolan, maybe up to 50 cars still in the water down there, so that can't be good news.
You realize we started with 20, remember? We heard this earlier. There were maybe 20 cars. Now we're looking at 30, 40, 50. You realize just how difficult this is going to be. They have not removed anything as of this point. And also how dangerous it is. I mean, when you realize just how strong the currents of the Mississippi, we always hear about this every year when somebody decides they're going to swim in it. Now imagine trying to go in there when you have spaghetti-like rebar
the,
wrapped
the
around
rebar
everything.
The rebar is just twisted and bent, and to be diving in that rebar, very dangerous with the current and who knows what's going on underneath the surface of the water right now.
We've been talking about this during the break, too, and I've been thinking about this again and again. And every time I watch it on television, there is this perception of how big it is. But what I really remember is parking underneath it and looking up and up and up and up until you see these trusses, these big green trusses, and they're huge. And there were this is an eight-lane freeway that came down. It's so much bigger than I think people realize. If you step below it, if you step on it, you realize this is so much more. Now imagine having as many as 50 cars underneath, how much water on top of how much rebar, all twisted into one big pretzel. How difficult is this going to be? I don't think anybody realizes.
CNN obtained an exclusive security camera, what looks like a security camera, a bit of footage of the bridge collapsing, and it appears that the one major span over the water came down as one piece. And when that hit, the water itself of the Mississippi came up the full 60 feet. So you can imagine the shock of the people that were on board that segment. Including, I guess, that school bus, which miraculously ended on four tires, and the folks were able to escape from that.
I remember sitting there on the Mississippi again this morning and looking at that, and you can still see that big major piece in the center, which had been dropped down to the level of the water. And then to the left, you see a piece of that bridge that essentially snapped off, and what it looks like is it broke in two different places and went almost vertical, so they're perpendicular to one another. And it's just this very strange, surreal moment. And then on the other side, obviously, it's split in a different direction altogether. It's just, this is extraordinary. Even the bridge itself, once it hit apparently at the bottom, split a long ways. So now you have multiple pieces that are twisted and bent with the rebar and the concrete and the cars. You can't imagine the difficulty. And we look back, Dan, you were talking about that amazing officer, whoever that woman was, who was out there with a rope tied around her belt, saying, I'm just going to dive in here into the Mississippi by myself with the help of others, and we're going to find these people. I mean, you're not paying people to do that. She's not doing that for the money. Mm-mm. That's about something else. And it's really something when you realize there is a quality that comes out in tragedies like this, which you just can't make up.
Those are stories like that one that we're going to hear about for a long time as people come forward and we learn more about these stories, because that's no small feat to drop in your vehicle 60-some feet, land, and be able to walk away from it. And we're finding there are quite a few people that were able to do that, and we can see in the wreckage today that there are cars sitting upright in the middle of the river on the large portion of this bridge. And you mentioned the school bus, and that's the one I keep coming back to, because that bus is a few seconds earlier or later. We could be talking about completely different numbers right now and completely different search.
There's another one I saw, too. There's this woman who is being interviewed on television. She's holding her baby, and behind her, you can see her car. Her car was crushed between these two other cars, and you can see it. Mm-hmm. And you try to imagine how anybody could have survived that. And that's just one example of hundreds of examples right now. But you look at a woman holding her child, and you wonder, how is it that you survived this? How is it this is even possible?
At 6:40 or so last night, Eric, Adam Carter had a young woman who had just climbed up from out of her vehicle, out of the water, climbed up, and he managed to talk to her just before she got some help from medical assistance. But you could hear the shock in her voice, but she's saying her car flipped over. Literally, I started to go down that long incline and then just tipped over, and she was able to get out of the car and make her way to safety. But just one of many, many stories. Let's find out how our traffic is going along on what could have been a really messy Thursday morning. Here's Josie.
Hi, some places have been really messy, Tim, but Highway 280 has not really been one of them. They've used that as a temporary freeway and probably will for a while between 35W and 94, shutting off the stoplights there, using 280 as a temporary freeway. You should know that County Road B and Broadway, until further notice, will not be able to access 280, though, for that reason, as they want to use that as the best alternate for 35W. I definitely advise you to go ahead and take that now. Westbound 94 past 280 with the barrels still up in the left lane. That's causing about a 10-minute delay coming in from Hamlin. Most places are starting to improve. 494 is not one of those spots. In Bloomington, we've got a crash on 494 westbound at 35W. Backup start prior to Highway 5. Use the crosstown instead. City of Minneapolis encouraging you to stay away from Washington Avenue. There's a few places where that are going to be closed off because of all the stuff that's going on, including the 10th Avenue Bridge, which is now closed between University Avenue and 2nd Street. Reports brought to you by Days Inn. Gas prices won't help your travel budget this summer, but Days Inn hotels sure will. Stay where you can get a free daybreak breakfast, free high-speed internet, and trip rewards. Book now at daysinn.com for the best value under the sun. That's your traffic. Tim has your forecast.
Looking at sunshine, a high of 85, a low of 57 with clear skies tonight. Sunshine tomorrow, 85, partly cloudy on Friday night. 20% chance of showers Friday night. Thunderstorms after midnight with a low 60. Saturday, partly cloudy, 40% chance of showers. 70 right now with clear skies. Saturday's high, by the way, 85. Once again, 70 degrees now at 830 WCCO. In the Twin Cities, we, of course, are continuing with our nonstop coverage of this disaster yesterday, and we still await further news on what might be recovered. That's the big story now, as we await for the clearance to bring in the boats and find out what might be involved with the up to 50 cars still underwater, and the cars that you can't see from all of the aerial video footage.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tim, the next news, the next phase of this will be accounting for all the people that are missing, and I think it's pretty safe to say that the death count, which is now at four, is going to rise. And that's unfortunately what we will probably see happen in the next 24 to 48 hours.
We got a lot of blunt trauma injuries, as reported earlier in a news conference from the doctors of the various hospitals that were involved in treating those injured yesterday. And they are asking that if you can help out with the blood banks, they shipped extra blood supplies, for example, to Hennepin County Medical Center. So they need to replenish that for any other kind of incident that might come up. So if you'd like to donate blood, you can call the Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE or the Memorial Blood Centers at 1-888-GIVE-BLD. That's Give Blood, BLD, at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. And as it turns out, the Red Cross headquarters just feet from that bridge span. So that became kind of a communications and staging center yesterday evening.
I heard that a spokesperson on last night from the Red Cross, and you know, they get flooded with calls. What can we do? We want to help. What can we do? And what he said is, you know, we need blood, but the Red Cross, obviously, a catastrophe like this is going to tax their budget. And he said, we need donations. He said, I don't like to stand here just moments after tragedy, but we're going to need donations because this will obviously consume our budget for the year, and it's early in their fiscal year. So people keep saying, what can we do? They don't want people down there right now. There's not a lot you can do, but that's one thing you can help. The Red Cross is obviously a big part of this.
Normally at this time of the day, we'll have sports coverage. Story of note right now regarding that is the Twins Royals game has been postponed for today.
Yeah, they had an afternoon game scheduled for today, and for obvious reasons, the Twins and Royals will play that at a later date because you don't need the extra traffic and congestion anywhere in that area. And that afternoon game has been postponed, as has been the groundbreaking ceremony that was planned for this afternoon for the new ballpark area in downtown Minneapolis. So,
don't believe any decisions have been made regarding the four-game series with Cleveland, which is set to begin tomorrow.
Yeah, that's still up in the air, I think, at this point. The Timberwolves did have a press conference scheduled for last night with the new players that they had acquired in the trade from the Boston Celtics. That was postponed. I understand Glenn Taylor's granddaughter was involved in the she was on either on or near the bridge when it collapsed too. So obviously his mind was somewhere more important than basketball last night.
Yes, indeed. 8:44 now in the Twin Cities. We head for 85 today. Tim Russell, Dan Terhar, and Jack Rice is with us as well. Jack was down at the scene earlier this morning along the Mississippi River. He has spent some time near that span, of course, as a former University of Minnesota student.
Yeah, I look at what's happened, and I look at the work that's going on now. Obviously, this is going to take so much time. I think, again, as we've talked about this, you realize how many people are involved. And Dan, you were talking about the Red Cross coming out already. We've already talked with Sheriff Stanek and many of the others involved. I think what's also very impressive about this is how well coordinated this seems to have gone. You realize all of the various hospitals that have come to the scene very, very quickly. The U of M was down there, HCMC, Abbott Northwestern, and so many others, plus all the emergency people. On top of that, you realize even last night, not only did you see Minneapolis cops, not only did you see Hennepin County sheriffs, you also saw Ramsey County sheriffs, you also saw St. Paul police officers, you saw people from all of the various suburbs who simply stepped up because this is what they do. They do search and rescue. They're qualified. They all know each other, and they work together. So this was part of that preparation that we saw after 9/11, and we look with the predecessor of Sheriff Stanek, and that was one of the things they were working on very closely, was to pull in the FBI and Department of Homeland Security if necessary, but more importantly, to deal with the aftermath, whether this was man-made or whether or not this was a natural disaster. Either way, you have to deal with a lot of people who may potentially be injured. And it seems that what they have done is they have succeeded in that preparation because the response has been really quite good.
Susie Jones was on the site as well, talking to the governor earlier, talking to Mayor R.T. Rybeck, talking about all of the upcoming events here. She's joining us now in studio. She's returned from the site. You were on the north end by the university entrance to the bridge. And obviously, did you have trouble getting into to the site?
Actually, I managed because I left here at about 4:30 this morning. So at 4:30 this morning, I went across the Hennepin Avenue Bridge, went down 2nd right next to the river, and then came up around it that way. But there were so many reporters, you guys. It was just phenomenal to see probably 50 or 100 reporters, Katie Couric, Matt.
What's Lauer.
Lauer. I knew it, and so many others, and it was just a scene to be down there. But actually, from my vantage point, I did better, not better, but I could see better yesterday from the other side of the bridge.
Which is exactly where I was. I actually went to the other side because they were pushing all the reporters onto the university side, whereas from where I was, we had a great vantage point, but there was essentially nobody there. They were all pushing them to a different direction.
Mm-hmm. And as we heard this morning, they're going to move very slowly when it comes to the recovery effort. So we're not going to see a lot of a flurry of activity, which is always hard because everyone wants information. I have to tell you guys, I was doing interviews this morning for different radio stations around the country, and people had all of these ideas that they had heard about what caused the bridge to collapse. And one guy in Tampa, Florida said, well, we heard that there were pigeons that lived under the river and the pigeon droppings were acidic and caused the structure to become unstable. And I was like,
yeah. I guess it's human nature to want to speculate and have answers. And that's probably the most frustrating thing right now is there are so few answers.
Yeah. Back in 2005, inspectors from MnDOT deemed the bridge, quote unquote, structurally deficient, according to the published report this morning. They gave the bridge a sufficiency rating of 50% on a scale of 0 to 100%, and that 50% or lower means the bridge might need to be replaced. And
that number's down a little now.
Yeah, so that's the some of the things we've been hearing about the situation with that bridge. Minnesota had one of the nation's better bridge safety records, by the way. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation in 2006, they found that 3% of Minnesota bridges were ranked as structurally deficient. Traffic time now. Josie joining us on 830 WCCO.
Good morning. Highway 280, what we saw this morning, now if they've set that up as a temporary freeway from 94 to 35W, is that not a lot of people were taking it, actually. And right now, if you're on 35W southbound through Roseville trying to get on to 280, no big deal. Same thing with 36 trying to get on to Highway 280. So I'd like to see more people go ahead and take advantage of that, which they've turned off the stoplights in the meantime, and that's going to be a good way for you to go. Problems elsewhere, though, include 494 westbound at 35W. Crashes there. Traffic is backed up towards Highway 5. Go ahead and use the crosstown. 494 through Bloomington is unusually busy, so the crosstown's a good way to go. In Minneapolis, West River Parkway is closed between 13th Avenue and 1st Street. They have a few closures due to the bridge collapse in Minneapolis. That's just one of them, including 2nd Street, which is now closed between 8th Avenue and 11th Avenue. One more for you. The 10th Avenue Bridge between University Avenue and 2nd Street South. Just another closure in the city of Minneapolis. That's the latest traffic. Tim has your weather.
We have an update from CBS coming along in just a couple of seconds as we look at our forecast. We're looking at sunshine here for the next couple of days. Our high today, 85, and tonight's low with clear skies, 57. Sunny again on Friday with a high of 85. Now, if you're hoping for some rain, the next chance, 20% chance after midnight on Friday night, we'll have a low of 60. And that increases to a 40% chance on Saturday with the showers and thunderstorms and a high of 85. Let's go to CBS now.
Tim, we're going to go. Telly Mamayak is going to take us live.
CBS News White House correspondent, yes. Peter Mayer joins us live on our news line with an announcement. Peter, what do you have?
Well, just moments ago, the White House announced that the Transportation Department later today will announce a $5 million grant for restoration of traffic flow and debris removal at the disaster scene. Spokesman Tony Snow made the announcement here at the White House. In other details from that briefing, he said the First Lady will continue with her previous plans to visit Minneapolis tomorrow. He leaves the door open for a presidential visit there. Of course, President Bush has a pattern of not wanting to go to disaster scenes immediately so as not to interfere with the rescue and recovery efforts. There's been no official request for disaster aid yet, but of course that will come, as we all know. President Bush called Governor Pawlenty to offer condolences and to commend the Twin Cities area for the disaster response. The president first learned of the disaster as he was having dinner with Mrs. Bush last night. Joe Hagan, the deputy chief of staff, brought the word in to the president in the White House residence. Mr. Bush then consulted with Homeland Security Advisor Fran Townsend. Now, during this briefing that just wrapped up here a couple of minutes ago, Snow confirmed the report that I know you all have heard about the deficiencies that were found in the bridge earlier, but he said that that did not necessarily signal the kind of devastating failure that happened yesterday. And he also emphasized in the course of this briefing that the state is responsible for taking actions in cases like that. When asked about the need for more inspections of the nation's highway and road infrastructure and the bridges, Snow said there's a regular inspection process nationwide. Bridge inspections required every 2 years. He said there is a system in place. So that's the wrap-up of what the White House is saying so far this morning.
All right. Thank you so much. CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer announcing that the Transportation Department is going to announce a $5 million grant for debris removal and restoration of traffic in light of this horrible bridge collapse in Minneapolis. And the president is going to have something to say about this in a briefing at 10 o'clock this morning, Central Time. And we'll take that live as well here on 830 WCCO.
And as you heard earlier tonight or today as well, Laura Bush, the First Lady, mm-hmm. will be visiting a scheduled visit tomorrow, and
tomorrow.
That will continue now.
Yeah,
University of Minnesota.
Children's Conference at the University of Minnesota.
All right, it's going to take $5 million and then some, I
well,
think, to deal
just
with
a,
this.
That's just a start to what this mess is going to take to
Governor
to
Tim Pawlenty joined us in the 6 o'clock hour, and he was explaining that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers would probably be involved in a lot of that debris removal once that gets underway. Going mm-hmm. to be undoubtedly a lengthy process. Right now, of course, we're most concerned about the recovery process. And they have been making plans here in the last hour or so about how to deal with that. As Police Chief Tim Dolan told us, there are dozens of cars still underwater, cars that you just can't see from the various video footage that we've been seeing. So that's of great concern, of course, as they finally get some divers into the water. And they have to make sure that it's safe for those people to go in a recovery part of the process.
Everything has been very, very speculative. We don't know exact numbers. The even the death toll has been at 9, at 7, at 4. So there, we know so little. Everything We're very short on facts, and they've been very blunt and told us this is going to be slow. It's going to be very meticulous, and nothing is going to happen quickly. Throughout the day today, once they get in the water, which we assume has either happened or will happen soon, I'm sure we'll start to learn more, but again, it is not going to happen quickly. There will be no large amounts of information, I think, coming at us for quite a while.
All right, and we remind folks if they do are in a situation where they're concerned about somebody who they may not have heard of or heard from, they can go to the Family Assistance Center, which was established yesterday at the Holiday Inn Metrodome over at Seven Corners near the West Bank of the Mississippi of the University of Minnesota, 1500 Washington Avenue South. And families looking for information at Hennepin County Medical Center, their number is 612-873-3400. Cell phones, of course, became a big problem yesterday with everybody calling everybody else to see, are you okay? And, I mean, when you think of the tens of thousands that travel at rush hour over one of those, over that span, the hour between 6 and 7 saw the most calls, of course, and many mobile calls were not able to get through. So the plea went out, of course, to use that only in special occasions.
Yeah, and when Chief Dolan was on, Tim, he was did sound a little frustrated with that, because at a point like that where your emergency personnel that are on the scene are going to rely on cell phones to contact people quickly, they weren't able to do so. And the dozens, hundreds, I guess, of gawkers that were there on their cell phones calling people, whether or taking photos, whatever, that became a big problem. But that's something that that the authorities have to be able to deal with, because this in this day and age, it's inevitable that there are going to be people there and they all have cell phones with them.
Absolutely. And a lot of folks showed up there on the scene taking photographs that will be of great assistance once they try to piece this together. I saw several photographs of the various parts of the spans that had collapsed, and I'm sure that the government will be looking at this, and the Federal Transportation Bureau will be looking at this to see if they can spot anything that might have led to this catastrophic collapse. Highway 280 was turned into basically a freeway here today.
Which was, great news, and obviously they're on top of things to make that move.
We'll check in with Josie in about a minute and a half or so to see how it worked out. But from the reports we were getting from her over the last hour or so, things there were moving along okay. Of course, your other alternative, if you're coming in from the north, 694, you can go to 94 and then work your way into downtown Minneapolis. But this is just the first day of what will be quite a difficult time for commuters. And the transit authorities put in a number of extra buses as well, which is good news. If you want to check that out, you can go to metrotransit.org or call their number at 612-373-3333 and find out, you know, what buses are. But basically, they have a lot more buses at the park and ride lines.
Yeah, you're going to have to make, obviously, for a good deal of time, different travel arrangements, different routes. When they rebuilt that, was it the Mendota Bridge they rebuilt? That was several years, wasn't it?
Took a long time.
Yeah, and people who live near there, it'll be very similar to that. You're just going to get used to a different routine. It's going to take you longer to get to work, and you're going to have to find another route for a long time.
A lot of us remember the rebuilding of the Lake Street Bridge. That's in my old neighborhood where Marshall and Lake Street are joined right over the river. Mm-hmm. They almost had that completed, just the finishing touches, and then one a huge span of that collapsed into the river, if you recall, taking one construction worker with it. But this pales that situation. This is an amazing, catastrophic situation when you get the full scope of what went down yesterday over the Mississippi River. We'll check on our traffic right now as we go to the traffic center. Josie's been keeping an eye on the rush hour, which is coming to a close. Josie, how are we looking out there?
Yeah, Highway 280 is still a great route, as they were able to turn the stoplights and just pretty much put them on that on function so that it can be used as a temporary freeway both sides of 280 from 94 to 35W. It's been working great. We did see a lot of traffic on 694 westbound through Fridley trying to get over to 94. That has since cleared out. A problem we're having, which isn't really
have anything to do with the bridge collision is 494 westbound at 35W. Crash has cleared, but a trooper still off to the right shoulder, and traffic is delayed coming in from about 24th Avenue. That whole Bloomington stretch, both east and westbound, just was a place that was unusually delayed, and it still is slower than usual. I'd advise you to take the crosstown. But, yeah, over the coming days or months or however long, we'll just be watching alternate routes into downtown Minneapolis, watching Highway 280, and just watching to see how people are able to get around this bridge collapse. That's the latest traffic. And here's your forecast with Tim.
All right. Thank you, Josie. Pretty simple, sunny, and that goes for today, tomorrow, and then Friday night into Saturday. We might get some shower activity. We'll have highs in the mid-80s here both days, overnight low of 57. Currently, we have 70 degrees in the Twin Cities with clear skies as we continue with our coverage here of the collapse of the Interstate 35W bridge over the Mississippi River. Stay tuned to us. And, of course, remember our website at 830WCCO for a linkage to all of the important numbers that you'll need. Dan Terhart, Tim Russell here, and news is up next with Kelly Mamaya.
Thank you, Tim Russell. And after CBS, we're going to go live to Eric Escala, who's standing by for another news conference as authorities wrap up their tour of the site of this bridge collapse. That news conference expected around 9:15, and you can hear it live right here on 830 WCCO.
Trusted information. This is today's 830 WCCO, Minneapolis-St. Paul. WCCO.